Hello, 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 everyone. Welcome to another Wednesday night, 6th of March, 2024. Can you believe it's March already? Which means it's officially autumn here in Australia. Although we're not quite at the vernal autumnal equinox just yet, so almost there. Welcome to another Wednesday night, 6th of March. Thanks for joining us. 66 guests already listened to us live, so that's fantastic. Very encouraging for myself, Riz and Rahul, who are joining us tonight, of course. Let's make them welcome. As always, we have Riz from Car Loop and also Rahul as well. Hey, gentlemen, so nice to see you both. How are we?
Going well, Tom. Rahul, good to have you back on. It's warm here, but I think, as we were talking earlier, Tom, before the show, it's warm everywhere and it is autumn.
Yeah, crazy times. Rahul, how have you been? We missed you.
Thanks, gents. Great to be back. I had a couple of weeks off with some family engagements. The EV show by Ludicrous Feet was always on the back of my mind. Great to be back. Good to see the crowd here as well. And they're already, looking forward to the show. So let's get to it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, 77 guests already joining us 3 minutes in. So very encouraging indeed. Lots to chat about as always, but first let's say hello and thank you to our sponsors. That is Car Loop. Lots of data from Car Loop. They're the people to go to. Riz is your man. And Cobra Car Insurance, launching an EV, ground up EV specific insurance product for your EV this month. So we're looking forward to that. All right, well, lots to chat about as always. So what we're going to do is Rahul is now our executive producer. He'll be in the background and manning your comments. We can't always get to every single comment, but we do read each one of them, and Rahul will be here to help us out as well. We're getting back halfway through to get us some comments and also read the room as well. So thanks, Rahul. We'll see you very shortly. Awesome. All right, so Riz, yeah, let's kick off tonight. Hey, lots to chat about as always. First of all, I want to give you and Car Loop a bit of a plug. That is the EV Fleet for Council Summit coming up on the Thursday, 14th of March. It's 8 days away, organized by your good self.
Thanks, Tom. Just over the last couple of years, as you know, what's been happening in Victoria with a fair few things that are there for EV drivers, and then there's those things that are missing, and what we're trying to do is get everyone together in one place, particularly councils who will be doing a lot more when it comes to rolling out charges. And, you know, it encourages other people to start to notice EVs if it's in their own area. So getting them all in one room and sort of, you know, talking about the benefits and things around EVs and sort of showcasing some of the latest EVs there as well. So if any of our audience know people or in touch with councils within Victoria, just reach out to them and say, hey, this event is for you. And, anyone that works at these local governments can attend. And if they are elsewhere and they'd like to join around Australia, we will be live streaming this event to them as well.
Absolutely. Yeah, Riz, this is a very worthwhile movement. And hopefully start of things to come, as you said, around the country, hopefully in other states as well. Admission is free, as Riz said. And you can catch it on the live stream if you can't make it. Otherwise, there'll be cars as well to test drive and look at. So we've got representation from Tesla, Polestar, BYD, all the big names. Yeah, good stuff, Riz. And lots of Q&A discussion sessions too, I believe.
Yep, that's right. So thanks for that, Tom. And if anyone that's listening or watching, reach out to your local councils and say, hey, you need to be part of this. And we'll be doing it across Australia later in the year as well.
Fantastic. Thanks, Riz. Yeah, looking forward to it. Awesome. Also, want to quickly shout out to our good friend Charles, who's in the chat tonight. I think he was involved with the Sustainable Living Festival in Launceston in Tasmania on Saturday, just 4 days ago, 5 days ago. Lots of EVs to see there, I can see. Let's have a look at some pictures here. Ooh, yep, AEVA event. We've got some beautiful Hyundais there. Polestar, of course. GWM Aura in the corner here.
That's very Ionic color, that Ionic blue or close to it with that aura.
It is too cool, isn't it? It's like an N, the aura N. You're right. I wonder how that goes around the track. Got a Nissan Leaf too. Oh, Kia EV9. Good to see them around, Kia. And Kia EV6 too. Looking forward to seeing the EV5 Riz, hopefully very soon. Yeah. And there's a Model 3, of course. Oh, I see a BMW. I think that's an iX over here.
i4?
A four, okay.
Four-year sedan. Yeah.
Nice one. And cool. And I think there was a bit of a plug for Ludicrous Feed as well. Thanks, Charles. Drinking coffee from his mug.
Always representing.
Love it. Thanks a lot. Yeah, there's Three Musketeers. I believe you know Charles here in this corner. I've just seen him a few times. This is Tazzy Thalassine. He sometimes joins us on the stream. I believe this gentleman is Tazzy EV. So there you go. Good-looking blokes there. Holding the Ludicrous Feed mug. Thanks, Charles. Thanks for sharing that. Much appreciated. All right, well, let's say hello to some people from the audience who've joined us tonight. We've got Jim joining us from a warm and dry Tassie. Got John joining us from Brizzy. And Mark's joining us from a warm Melbourne at the moment. 20 degrees is warm, I guess, but nighttime. Hey, Gaffer, nice to see you. And Hal says, lots to chat about, I agree. And SWS has got COVID. Sorry to hear, mate. Hopefully you feel better soon. Jasper says, hello. Nice to have you there, Graham, from Shepparton. Mr. For you, but he's back. Hello, Terry. Nice to see you. Hello, Elizabeth from Northern Rivers. Hello, H2 Rider. Hello, Scotty. Hello, Tassie Evie. Speaking of warm and dusky Southern Tasmania. Well, maybe not warm, but dusky Southern Tassie. Hello, Steve from Central Coast. Hello, Anthony Phillips. Lots of members, Riz. It's great to see you. And lots of welcome backs for Rahul. Yeah. I agree. Nice to have Rahul back. And Peter's watching from Canberra. Nice. 257,964 kilometres on his Model 3 and counting. Fantastic. Yeah. Well done.
Awesome.
Scott Hutchings, happy Wednesday. Robin Jules, hello. Nice to see you both. Indeed. And yes, I am in the house. Hello, Paul. Nice to see you. And Scotty, hello. Hello. Nice to see you too. There you go. Tassie EV says he was at the Sustainable Living Festival. There you go. He's right there in the photo. All right. And Peter says, and my SR Plus is still 2 weeks short of its fourth delivery anniversary. Wow. Last Saturday, I did 259 kilometers of mild weather Ubering on 94%. Wow. It's 11% degradation. Not bad for that number of kilometers. And Kangaroo Island TV. Nice to see you there, Stan. Welcome. All right. Well, yeah, lots of chat about Riz, but I think the most important one to kick off the show tonight is probably the main story of the week, and that is the fact that Australian EV sales have reached 9.6%, just short of that magical 10%, Riz, but pretty good still for February 2024.
It's fantastic, led by the Model 3. But before we get into that, one of our viewers, Chris Wood, who often joins us, he did a bit of working out of the numbers, and he reckons that we're nearly at 10%, 9.9%, if we take the heavy vehicles out of those numbers. We're approaching 10%, and hopefully this is the start of what we're expecting to see for the rest of the year. Great result. 10,000, over 10,000 electric vehicles, just taken everything by storm in terms of, what we had in January, more than double those sales. So great news.
Yeah. Is that the first time we've reached 10,000 EV sales, full battery electric vehicles in Australia? Wow. Yeah. Well done, everyone. Good stuff.
It's really good. I mean, I'll have to double check that. The last big month we had was June last year, which was 8.8%. So this is 9.6. This is still massive achievement in where things have been in the past.
Yeah, I'm just reading a comment here that Scotty says does have lagged Tesla sales, and yes, that's true. We'll get into that very shortly. There was a huge rise from 4,893 in January, and as Scotty says, we had some delayed deliveries for the new Tesla Model 3. But even between the two, 10 and 4,000, that's still 7,500 between the 2 months. That's still very encouraging. These data are from the Federal Chamber of Automotive Industries. Yeah, so we'll get to that very shortly. That's also very controversial, what they've been saying about EV uptake and fuel efficiency standards, but we'll talk about that very shortly. But let's have a look at what's driving these sales. So you've got your numbers down here. So Tesla Model 3, 3,593 sales. That's, of course, the new Highlands coming in. Model Y still doing very well, 2,000 sales. And then the BYDs, Atto 3 is still leading the way between that and the Seal, number 4. And MG4 is doing well too, 446, and beating the Dolphin by a factor of 2, only 219 sales. And then Kia, Volvo, BMW, and Polestar round up the top 10. Yeah, what do you think, Riz? Is that expected, the Atto 3 still beating the Seal in terms of sales?
I think it is, given they've got a special on at the moment for the Atto 3, $2,023 off on 2023 stock cars. I believe it's still on, so they must have a few more 2023s left. Maybe later in the show we'll touch on the new, what to expect in the 2024 model of the Atto 3. A few changes there. But I think overall I was looking at the yearly sales, and the Seal, I believe, is ahead of the Atto 3. So only slightly. So we'll see if this trend continues. But yeah, Seals, as we know, is a fairly premium car. I think, you know, between you and I, we may know someone that has one. You know, obviously people have been watching your channel, Tom, and they've been placing the order.
Well, I mean, you know, it's nice that you all, listen to what I'm saying. But yeah, the Seal is really a nice car. It's on a class of its own compared to the Atto 3 and Dolphin. They're both good cars, but the Seal is, you know, quite good for the price anyway. And back, you know, just touching on price, I mean, people say, yes, we need more affordable EVs. And you've got MG4 and BYD Dolphin. They're the kind of two most affordable EVs, well, two of the most affordable EVs in Australia currently. Yet the sales aren't, you know, they're not as good as we thought they might be for that price under $40,000. Whereas, you know, the Teslas, the BYD Atto 3, Seal, they're still ahead of the game.
That's a very interesting point, Tom, because, you know, you're right. It's all about affordability. But I think what's happening in the market, Australians love SUVs. So last year, over 55% of the vehicles that were sold in Australia was an SUV. And I guess people are happy to spend a bit more on a car. And hatchbacks have really lost quite a bit. I think I did the numbers in the top, you know, most affordable hatchbacks, so MG4, BYD Dolphin, and the GWM Aura. And collectively, they've sold 1,600 odd cars in the first 2 months, which is just over 10% of the total EV sales, which sits at around 15,000 for the year. So, yeah, people are not buying them. And I think one of the issues is the lack of awareness that these vehicles exist. So BYD is a relatively, you know, well-known brand amongst EV enthusiasts, but amongst the general public, they've still got reservations, and it will take time to build that brand. MG has done it over the last 6-plus years with their ICE vehicles and now bringing their electric cars into it as well. But yeah, the appetite for hatchbacks is not there, and all three of those hatchbacks are 5-star ANCAP rated.
Yeah, very good point. Very safe cars, affordable cars. So yeah, that's surprising for me. I thought they'd be selling more as well, because I'm seeing a few of the MG4s on the road, particularly. I'm certainly seeing more Tesla Model 3 Highlands on the road too here in Sydney, and I got to say they do look a lot better than the previous generation. Just my opinion, anyway. But yeah, nice looking vehicle, a bit more sporty. And obviously I'm seeing more Seals on the road too. So yeah, great to see. Let's take some comments here on that topic. So let's see, we've got, Scott Hutchings saying, yes, put my Model 3 in that number. Happy to be a statistic. Congratulations, Scott. Scotty also says, fingers crossed March doesn't drop due to flood of Tesla deliveries in February. We shall see. And Charles is saying, congratulations, last month's lucky 10,000. And yep, 10% of passenger vehicles, as you said, Riz. Yep. Rahul's saying, yep, first Model 3 spotted this week. It's gorgeous. It is a nice looking vehicle. Gaffer says, we need some companies to be brave and set up a large EV fleet. Yes, well, that's what Riz is trying to do with his EV fleet days, right? Get more, councils and companies involved. And we've got, what have we got else? We've got, Chris is asking, what's up with the Dolphin sales? Yeah. Same question, Chris. I agree. Why so low?
I don't know. apparently seals seem to swim faster than dolphins. I'm not sure. It seems to be a bit of a trend. It is a great car. Like, it's so spacious. And I think, Tom, you've had it recently as well. And it's, I think people still are just not aware that these things exist. And that's a challenge that any new brand has to overcome. There could be some clever marketing that can be done at this stage. But, you know, I guess after the big splash that was made when it was announced, not a lot has, you know, really, well, it has really helped the community understand that these cars are here. So it's already pretty good to be talking to the converted about them. So when the Atto 3 came out, a lot of the Model 3 owners purchased them as their second car. Now they've got another electric car, and it's very difficult to get the converted to buy another one, especially a third car when people don't need it. So I guess time will tell, Chris.
Yeah, I mean, they're great town vehicles, honestly. 300 kilometers of range. And not the fastest charger, but that's okay. You're charging overnight anyway. Great price, you know, LFP battery, blade battery, very safe. Good enough for, yeah, your sort of runabout going to work and shops and things. So, yeah, really good value. So, yeah, we shall see as time goes on this year. Ah, Riz, good question from Gaffer. When do we see the Omoda E5? So, I think it'll be very soon.
Yeah, I heard it's on, well, before June, I suspect we'll be seeing more on that car, the launch, the exact launch date and the pricing as well.
I believe Elliot, who was on this show a couple of times this year so far from Fully Charged, had a look at the Omoda E5 recently, so we shall get him back shortly and get his thoughts. John asks, what about the ID5, ID7? I think the ID7 might be coming, maybe. That's the station wagon, isn't it?
Yeah, it's this large sedan and then the recently announced station wagon, but I guess if anything, if the pricing of these cars is anything to go by, an ID7 looks like a really, really good car. It'll be like, oh, I don't know, 75, 80 grand. And then people won't buy them. And it's the trouble that I guess, unfortunately, Hyundai came across as well with the IONIQ 6 and some of the more premium models. People just don't have the appetite to spend 70, 80 grand on a sedan in 2024.
Yeah, particularly when the Tesla Model 3 is 65, BYD Seal starts at 50. They're much better value, I think. Yeah, good point from SWS. Don't see any ads for BYD on TV. Yeah, I mean, I would have thought they'd start advertising in the mainstream media by now. JO says, riding an EV, Uber EV is a great way to test drive different vehicles as a passenger. Riz, every time I book a Uber Green, you know what I get? You know what I get, right? It's a Camry hybrid.
You get self-charging technology.
Oh, seriously. I don't think I've ever been in a full EV ordering an Uber Green. I must not ride Uber enough here in Australia. Yeah.
I think most of the time, Tom, you know, you're either in the Spectre, which we're still yet to see a review of, or any of those type of vehicles. But I've had a BYD Atto 3 once, Tesla twice. But majority of the time, it is Toyota Camry, you know, the world's most popular electric car.
That's right. Self-charging, indeed. Yeah, Den makes a good point. Hoping the new 2024 Atto 3 has faster AC charging. We'll get to that very shortly at the midway through the show. I think Japan has just launched the Atto 3 over there. Oscreamer says, I thought a lot of hatchback sales go to older empty nesters or younger first car buyers. Yep. So EVs might still be too much. Yeah, I thought that too. Like, that Dolphin would be great for a new provisional driver, like a P-Plater, or even a young driver. Safe, you know, 5-star ANCAP rating, as you said, Riz. All the mod cons, great price. So, yeah, we shall see. Scotty says, sponsor the cricket. Yeah, that's how you get on mainstream. Yep.
Well, what's MG's been doing that, haven't they? I know they sponsor the Rabbitohs, I believe, but I think they're also doing some, maybe in the Big Bash or one of them. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And of course, we saw Kia sponsor the tennis recently in Melbourne. Yep. We'll get to this shortly too, Ray. EU mandating more buttons for their ANCAP? Whatever. Their safety. ANCAP. So we'll get to that shortly too. That'll be interesting. Cool. All right. let's move on to the next story. That is your charts, RIS's charts. Looking at New South Wales Tesla uptake in the last, three years now. Well, almost, no, 2.5 years. We're seeing, of course, steady growth in New South Wales.
Well, it's, over 30, well, nearly 31,000 Teslas in the state now. And the way it's looking, as you can see, the February was quite a bit of a spike. It must be all those Model 3s that are getting out there. And yeah, I guess we'll see if this is sort of the first batch and whether things cool down a bit. But I don't think Tesla will let things cool down because they need to be producing a certain amount of cars out of Shanghai. So they'll be doing everything they can, offering free supercharging to, you know, referral credits to you name it. They've got so many demand levers they can pull. And, you know, at the last resort, drop prices. They've done that in China. Europe's seen some massive cuts in the last couple of weeks. So, yeah, anyone that's sort of in the market for an EV or potentially looking at upgrading one of your early Model 3s, there may be some price cuts on the horizon now that the state subsidies in a lot of parts of Australia have sort of gone now. So someone has to absorb that if we want to keep this going. We'll find out. It's a big gap between the subsidies ending in New South Wales, South Australia, and other states, and when the fuel emission standards come in January next year.
Yeah, no, thanks for doing these charts, Riz. That's fantastic. Great to see. And as you said, sort of good growth in the last 12 months, particularly in 2023. I think half the fleet was added last year, which is really good. Now, Mark Rimmer has got a good point here. He says, lots of EVs are illegal for P-plates. Now, you've got to look at the power-to-weight ratio. And in New South Wales, there is a threshold. And I think the rear-wheel drive Model 3, Model Y can be used for P-platers. So just have a look at your state requirements before you buy an EV for your teen or new driver. Peter Cook says, first half of 2022 was a debacle. All our Teslas went to New Zealand right after that Shanghai got shut down. Is that true, Riz?
I think it's probably right. Like, New Zealand did get quite a few more vehicles. And I guess that's part of the incentives, right? Like, if the New Zealand government had better clean car discount incentives, people feel more confident in purchasing them. And what Tesla wants to do is align themselves with wherever there's more incentives to encourage more people. Because as soon as one customer gets a car, they tell 10 others about it, and then they get more orders. So it's sort of a natural thing. And Australia, you know, we need to have one harmonized sort of set of incentives, and FBT incentives are great. And, you know, reducing import duties is also a very good step. But, you know, if we're going to have uniform incentives, it needs to be blanketed across all states and territories so that everyone can have the level of benefit, whether it's improving affordability. But now the used EV market's looking quite good. So that if those prices continue to come down, then affordability hopefully is not going to be an issue in a year or two.
I believe the New Zealand EV sale numbers have dropped as well because their incentives were cut recently too. Yeah. Mm. So it'd be good to get some numbers too on that. Ross says, if you want an Uber EV, order Comfort Electric. All right, I'll look out for that one for next time. Hal makes a good point. Rivian R2 launch in the next couple of days. So... yep, looking forward to that. That'll be good. Cool. All right, let's move on to Model 3 performance sighting. So whether this is called Ludicrous or whatever, the new performance Model 3, lots spotted around town in, well, not this town, but in the US, I believe. Is that right, in the US?
Yeah, pretty cool. I can't remember the exact location, but it's got Californian plates on it, on the back. Above the wheel, sort of near the back window, is an EU sticker. So it's supposed to be going towards Europe. So it must be, you know, the left-hand drives that are supposed to be going to Europe, but obviously have gone to the US for testing. You can see on the wheels are different. They've got aero caps slotted in them, or there's some sort of things that you can pull them out. If you're on a track and you want to cool your brakes down, then they've got the red calipers, which are very iconic to the Model 3, looks something like that if you take those little slats out with the Ludicrous badge.
Yeah, interesting. This will be the first time a performance Tesla has got caps. So, yeah, clearly they've done the engineering and this is what works. So, yeah, interesting. Yeah, right. Are you still got one in order, Riz, I believe, or did you?
Well, no. I cancelled my long range, but I think if this comes out, I'll wait for the first batch to pass because, you know, it's like any new Windows that comes out. All the bugs, you wait till they're gone. But yeah, I think it's going to be pretty exciting. Those pictures are probably the best ones to come out. Very Model S plaid like from the front and the way they look. So very cool.
Yeah, lots of tape around this car. But
you can see the seats as well. The seats in the sort of showcase, yes. The new bucket seats that they've got.
Yep. Yeah, nice. Yeah, looking forward to seeing this in the flesh. Should be good. Yeah, and good wheels too. So, yeah, I mean, do we know officially what the 0 to 100 time is for this car?
No, we don't, but our speculation is it's probably late twos.
Yeah, that's pretty quick for a car that's about 100 grand. Amazing value. Quick. All right, well, that's Performance 3 Watch for this week. Yeah. And here's Sawyer saying Jay Leno, yeah, reviewing the Model 3 with Brian's in the front here. He's saying this feels almost as good as my Model S at more than half the price. Actually, it's almost a third of the price. Yeah, it is good value. A nice-looking car. He's a big fan of Tesla, isn't he, Jay Leno?
Yeah, always been a pretty big supporter of the brand. And, you know, I think we need people like him who love cars and who can tell more. You know, even though they love cars, don't mean they don't drive electric. And, yeah, very, very cool.
Mm. Yep. You can love both. Just saying, it's not binary, not polar. Staying with Tesla just for the moment. Jay's on X has posted a new 6-stall supercharger site in Albany, WA. So good to see more in WA. We do need them out there. Not shaded though, which is a shame. I see a Chem Power charger there. Is that one of the WA charging network ones? Must be.
Yeah, WA EV.
Yeah. Hopefully amenities nearby too. That'd be good. Cool. Now, if you really want to drool over Tesla supercharging sites, so this one, how many of them are there? There's quite a few. I think this is in Europe somewhere.
Germany, forget where.
Germany, yeah. Yep. So 45 euro cent per kilowatt hour, 250 kilowatts, so version 3, and lots of them around. Although they've got V4 casing. I wonder if they're actually V4. Yeah, and they're sheltered too, which is great, and solar on top. That's what we need. Some third-party stuff up the back too. Amazing. We can only dream over here. Yep, Tassie EV saying, see that Munro and Associates have a Cybertruck to do a teardown on, and that should be interesting. Yeah, I want to see that as well.
Yeah, I got an email today from Munro. That was very exciting that they're probably one of the only, there's a couple of companies around the world that tear these cars down, but a lot of them just sell that information to other car companies, market intelligence stuff. But Munro is probably one of the only ones that in recent times have been showcasing it to a much broader audience, which is great to see. Can't wait.
Yeah, he always does a good job, Sandy, doesn't he, tearing vehicles down. I just want to quickly touch on this one. BYD just announced price cuts on the Atto and Seagull. We'll touch on that very shortly, Hal, so stay tuned. And Charles says, lots of supercharger construction also spotted in Bowen in North Queensland. So that's good. I mean, Bowen, that's quite far north. So, I mean, what's the furthest north now? Is that Rockhampton, right?
Yeah.
That's good. That's great. So
I may have seen another, maybe Charles, you can confirm this. Maybe there's another charging, a Tesla supercharger going in New South Wales somewhere. I may have seen something on X today or earlier today. Yeah, just see, that would be 3 or 4 being constructed at the same time.
That's good. Now, we touched on this a bit earlier, the FCAI. Running a bit of a scare campaign at the moment with regards to fuel efficiency standards in Australia. Now, Tesla is usually quiet on these things, but you know when Tesla speak up in Australia, you know they're really upset about this. So they're accusing the car lobby of making false claims about Labour's vehicle emissions plan and saying some of those numbers are a bit inflated. So, Riz, have you read more about this?
Look, I've tried to stay out of this because, you know, we know what FCAI's agenda is, and unfortunately it's not to support, you know, the development or, you know, getting cleaner cars on our roads. They're kicking and screaming about all of this stuff. It's going to happen, whether they like it or not. Doesn't matter what a few car dealers think or what a few legacy automakers think. Ultimately, that's what people want. And this week, I was driving through Port Melbourne, and there's a big banner up on one of the busiest thoroughfares to Westgate Bridge saying, Toyota, it's time to go electric, or something along those lines, promoting the BZ4X. And when you get to that sort of stage, you think, well, if that's what they're saying on one end, but then behind closed doors, they're going to FCAI and sort of trying to gang up on anything and everything the government's trying to do to bring cleaner cars to our roads. It's, you know, very misleading.
Yeah. Yeah, I was curious to read that, yeah, for example, I think it was the Ford Ranger. They use some of the calculations based on the some of the, you know, more polluting models or more less efficient models. And yet there are a lot of like utes that are actually quite efficient, but you know, they just use stats to just sort of bend the truth a little bit based on cars that aren't as efficient, right? So yeah, I don't think, you know, a price rise of 13,000 is really, you know, gonna be that much, right? Surely that's a bit of a scare campaign.
Look at it, look at the prices that have gone up over COVID for ICE vehicles.
Yeah.
Nobody's talking about them, but people are very happy to pay for them. Whatever dealer wants, that's what they pay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, an Outlander used to be start at about $32,000. Now it starts at close to $42,000, and people pay premium top dollars and wait 18 months for these sort of cars. So, you know, the only person that's actually getting screwed at the moment are everyday consumers buying ICE cars.
Yep. Yep, yep. Interesting times. Hopefully, we'll get some sort of final details of this efficiency, fuel efficiency plan very shortly from the federal government. So stay tuned, everyone. We'll bring you all that in the next few weeks, hopefully. All right, let's take some more comments. And, oh, Paul's saying, seeing a mention of a new supercharger at Kiama, New South Wales. That's good. Excellent. Ray saying fuel standards here in Australia are so low that we need to do better. Well, there's no fuel standards at the moment, so we need something, right? Us and Russia are the only two countries in the developed world, apparently, with no standards, which is a shame. Carl Hevo saying Sandy might need some serious grinder blades to get into the Cybertruck. Yep, very true. Oh, and apparently there's one in Raymond Terrace. Yes, that's near Heatherbrae, up in the north, near Newcastle. So, yep, that's a good one to head up north for. Yeah, excellent. All right. Well, at the halfway point, let's say thank you to our sponsors. That is, of course, Carloop and Koba. Thank you very much to the two companies for sponsoring Ludicrous Feed. We might get Rahul on very shortly, actually, to give us a wrap-up of what's happening in the chat. Doing a great job here, Raul. Thank you very much. Helping out with the comments. We can't put them all on the screen, but great to have you guys chiming in there with your comments. I appreciate that. All right, so let's push on for now. And I want to share this, actually. This kind of stuff makes my blood boil. So this was posted by one of my viewers, Bill Bozenis, and from the EV community, showing an elderly gentleman scratching a Tesla. Let's have a look. Keep watching. So this was at a shopping center car park in Melbourne, I believe. There it is. Yeah. If you're listening on audio podcast, it's a sentry mode footage of a gentleman with a cane, just with his car keys, I believe, scratching the side of a Tesla with sentry cam on. So, oh, Riz, that's disappointing, honestly. I mean, you just can't trust anyone these days.
Yeah, it's very unfortunate that, you know, people have to go that far to. And I don't know why you would do it. I mean, yeah, I don't understand the
mentality.
Motive.
Yep. Yep. Agree. Yeah, it's shocking. And, you know, I don't think these people realize sentry cam is on. I mean, you can see now in this shot his face, right? There he is. That's the culprit. They come in all shapes and sizes. They're not the young hooligan. It could be an elderly gentleman like this. Yeah.
Maybe they just want to be famous. I'm not sure. It's, it's a bit unfortunate, but hopefully the, you know, depending on how bad it was done, you know, hopefully we can catch this person.
Yep. Yeah. I think these are accessible spots. And Bill, the person who posted these videos, I think he was saying publicly that his son is in a wheelchair. So he's obviously a legitimate, can legitimately park in these accessible spots. So I just wonder, just putting two and two together, whether this person thought that Tesla was parked incorrectly in one of these spots. So,
or in his spot.
On his spot that he always parks at. I don't know. I'm just trying to guess, work out why he would do that. I mean, you may not know there's a camera in the Tesla recording you, but surely you must know there are cameras in a shopping center recording you in a car park these days. It just boggles the mind.
Yeah. And all for what? Because you need to get some paper.
Yeah.
From the shop. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah. Yep. Honestly, I hope he gets caught. I hope he gets charged because this is a crime. Don't do it. So anyway, that made me upset. Hopefully justice will be served. Okay, let's move on to other EV news. And now, so ChargeFox posted this week that the RACV are replacing all their existing EV chargers with new ChemPower units across Victoria. This is fantastic. We know Tritium's had its issues over the last few years, but hopefully ChemPower will come to the rescue and provide some, you know, some comfort for reliability across their EV charging network. No, it's good. And just staying with ChargeFox for now, they've dropped their discounts for the Motoring Association discounts. So from 20% now to 10% effective 8th of March, 2024. So 2 days' time.
Hmm.
Yeah.
There weren't a whole lot of sites to begin with nationally, if we think about it. And I always thought it was slightly misleading anyway when they sort of said if you're a Motoring Association member, you can get discounts on ChargeFox. But at certain ChargeFox sites, it's literally like, you know, less than 20 or 25 of them nationwide. Mm-hmm. So it's slightly misleading. But yeah, 20% to 10%, I guess. And they've also increased prices, haven't they? Like last couple of months, they've increased prices across most of their networks. So even with that 10%, I think people are paying what the standard rate was a couple of months ago.
Mm. Yes, prices are going up. You know, we've seen prices go up in Europe as well for EV charging. But, you know, the way petrol prices are now, $2.20, $2.30, I've seen in Sydney. I don't know about Melbourne, but you would think it's still cheaper at this stage to charge an EV on the road. Obviously, much cheaper charging at home, but certainly on the highway, it's still probably marginally better to charge an EV for now. Yeah, so, you know, 20% to 10%, big drop, but not a huge sort of absolute, in terms of absolute figures. All right, let's move on to what we were discussing before about the Atto 3. So the new 2024 BYD Atto 3 is launching in Japan with some upgrades. I can see straight away, Riz, there's no Build Your Dreams across the back here. So, yeah, it's the classic BYD logo.
That's one. And just staying on the rear, you've got where you'd normally have a silvery sort of fish scale type of an exterior bit. It's black now. So they've gone Tesla. You know how Tesla used to have chrome handles and chrome around their cars. They're going all black.
Mm. Yeah, I don't mind this. Yeah.
This is for maybe they're trying to take people off the Cybertruck, the rappers, getting them to buy a blacked out BYD.
That's right. You don't need a Chevy or, you know, what's the other one? GM, the Caddy? No, you don't need the Caddy. Oh, yeah, you need this.
Escalade. You just Escalade. Got
Yeah. Don't need a Spectre. Don't need a Cybertruck. You got a black BYD Atto 3. That's what you need. The affordable rapper vehicle.
Affordable rapper vehicle.
Yeah. Yeah, so this is launching in Japan. It's good.
It's got Continental tires. Not yes. No longer the, what did they used to have?
What was it?
Atlas Batman.
Atlas, that's right. I'm thinking Linglong, that's in the Dolphin.
Yeah, Dolphin. Yeah. They do carry over the Batman spec. They're still black Continentals, but, you know, they're Continental Eco, I think they call it. And another big change is on the inside, the screen now is much bigger, which is the screen you'd find in the Seal, Tom.
That's right. The Seal screen is quite big, yes. So, yeah, good to see. Is the interior less wacky? That's the question.
No, it's the same.
No, same wackiness. I can see the guitar strings there. Thank goodness. Phew. That's signature Atto 3. Is it more blue?
Yeah, interesting. I think the steering wheel was already blue, but yeah, maybe it's blue in the back section as well.
Mm. Yeah, I thought it was kind of more beigey or white, that sinewy bit. So I don't know. Oh, this bit here. I thought it was more white down here. Interesting. Yeah, speaking of the Seal, I'll be this month. I'm up for my 3-month service, which is complimentary. So hopefully I'll get a software update to fix some of those ADAS issues. So stay tuned, everyone. I'll be posting that, of course. All right, so that is the Atto 3 in Japan. So looking forward to that. How will they tackle Toyota Riz in Japan? How well will this sell?
Well, in Japan, there's not many options at all, unless you're buying a small K car made by Nissan or Mitsubishi. There aren't a whole lot of options in Japan. So BYD's got a pretty aggressive plan to roll out, I think, hundreds of experience centers or dealerships. Mm. So, yeah, I guess if this is one of the only options, that's what's going to be potentially selling. I'm not sure what Tesla's going to do apart from the Cybertruck showcase they're doing at the moment to attract a bit of attention in the country. Mm. So, yeah, I guess one day Japanese will wake up and they'll be like, hey, these electric cars are real. And their country makes, you know, hundreds of thousands of forklifts and other things that are fully electric. So come on, Panasonic, you know, makes all the batteries. So let's do it.
Very true. And BYD, if you're watching, I'm very happy to go back to Japan with an Atto 3, if you like, to drive from Tokyo to Osaka. That's fine. Happy to promote that for you. So just saying, call me. All right. Let's back on the comments from our viewers. So we've got, thanks, Scott. Lots of people watching tonight. Thank you very much. And Charles is saying, on the ChargeFox discounts, there are a few exceptions for RAC, WA, and RACQ. So check the link in the email for details. Thank you. Oh, H2 Rider says Toyota BZ4X has been on TV advertising.
Ooh.
Wow. Now, I don't watch much TV, to be honest with you, so I haven't seen it. But Riz, have you seen much on TV?
No. I haven't come across them. But billboards, they're starting, so I'm assuming they'll be advertising on TV. They've got to move on from one set of greenwashing ads to another set, so I guess this could be it.
How will they do it? So one ad will be, yes, electric, we're here. And then the other will be like, no, hybrid is the way to go. Self-charging.
Sustainably self-charging. And then Honda's there taking notes on what to do when it comes to advertising.
Oh, what a mess. Good luck, Toyota. Good luck. Peter says the discount only applies to 22 sites funded. Yep. It's part of the Arena program from 5 years ago. Good. Yep. And people like the BYD Atto 3. Here we go. Looks much better from BYD. Rahul agrees. Oh, is it a matte black finish? Well, I don't know. Kind of could be.
I think it's gloss. It's just in the photos, it looks like it's... they've tried to give it a matte look, but I don't think any BYD product is a matte. It's not like the high-end IKEA ones. They've got a few matte colors or matte... Yeah. Paints or wraps or whatever they are.
Same with the Hyundai's as well. You get matte options. Yeah. Yeah, I think it's glossy. Well, I mean, it's hard to tell on an AI-generated image, but yeah, it's probably glossy. I don't know. Scott agrees. Looks nice. And Tazzy says, I think the black dragon scales are an option. You can still get the silver ones. Yeah, good question from John. I wonder if this new model charges on the Gen 3 superchargers. That's still an issue, Riz. They still haven't sorted that out in Australia.
I haven't heard anything more. So And to be honest, official specs in Australia have not been released yet or announced. So, yeah, I guess we'll find out.
And EV Switch says, just did a 1,000-kilometer road trip in Natto 3, $95 for charging. That's really fantastic. Nice. Yeah, love the Natto 3 interior. It's polarizing, but I think it's interesting. I love the guitar strings. I'm glad they kept that. That's classic BYD Natto 3. Graham says, I damaged a front tire recently in a huge pothole in the Natto 3. Replaced front two tires with Conti's EV6 contact. I think my seal is also Continental Eco contact as well. Peter says, Toyota in Japan is apparently struggling to staff their factories and keep production going due to the population collapse. Okay. Nissan advertises a new car driven by electric, fueled by petrol. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, that's, no.
What? No. That doesn't make any sense. Which charge port does BYD use in Japan? Surely not CHAdeMO. Good point. Good point. Surely CCS2. Surely. It says they're doing a 2-for-1 free Mirai with each BZ. Jono, saw the EVs and Beyond New Zealand review of BZ4X. Largely positive. Okay. Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't mind. Toyota, call me. Happy to review one.
I think Subaru's kept it a bit more neutral. You know, they've dropped the price. Because they haven't come out and outlandishly said the things Toyota said, I wouldn't mind test driving a Solterra. You know, and let's see, maybe Subaru people who are very much into, they love their Subarus, it's a generational car, maybe they will consider one. So, yeah, Subaru, if you're listening, you know, get Tom into one.
Yeah, I used to own a Subaru. That was my first car, like when I got a job. So that's like, I love Subaru. It's a good brand. So I'd love to test the Solterra, actually. Yeah. All right, let's move on. And we spoke about the Dolphin Mini or the BYD Seagull earlier. And here we are. So that's the new BYD Seagull that's been redesigned. And there's been a price drop as well in China. Is that a sign that it could be coming to Australia, Riz? Because with the new design, maybe it's, you know, better for overseas markets?
Yeah, well, they have been launching in South American markets, as well as, I think they're already in certain parts of the Middle East. I saw a video the other day of an Egyptian dude that's had one for a couple of months. And yeah, he was doing a review in English about it, and he seems to love it. He reckons it costs barely anything for him to run compared to a petrol car, and he just drives it to work and back. So they seem to be getting out there, and I guess in markets where maybe the ANCAP restrictions or sort of the standards aren't as high, it's still a new car. It still has 6 airbags. So, you know, we need more of these in the cities.
Yeah, exactly. Looks like the new one will be pretty much unchanged in terms of its dimensions outside. But it's going to have 3 versions, 30 kilowatt hours up to 38.88 kilowatt hours. So, I mean, CLTC is highly exaggerated, but we're probably, I would say maybe 250 kilometers with a 40 kilowatt hour battery. So that's more than enough for a town runabout, which you can charge during the evenings, of course, or by solar, if you've got solar charging. Not the fastest, you know, 55 kilowatts, torque of 135, 0 to 50 in 4.9.
0 to 50,
I mean, that's enough for getting out of the lights, right?
Much faster than that.
Yeah. Look at that interior. So, I mean, that's kind of very Dolphin-like, having driven the Dolphin now the last week. Got that sort of control in the middle there with the gear shifter on this side. Wireless charging.
Like the Dolphin Mini is what they're calling it in some markets. So maybe that's what they really think in terms of interior design is similar to that.
Yeah, that'd be good. Good for like Uber Eats or, you know, Menulog, delivering food, Amazon parcels. We'll see. Let's take some comments. So Shalendra says, Ford US gets supercharger access without needing the Tesla app. Was it discussed?
Wow.
Subaru are going to give an option of full-size spare for Solterra. Oh, okay. That could be a good selling point. One of the latest updates to Tesla OS now has third-party chargers offered in Navigator charger option. Yeah, that's right. They do. And you can battery precondition as well. So that's something. Not all of them up, though. I think some of them are up only. And they've registered the Dolphin Mini name in Australia, too, apparently. Cool. All right. I think the base Seagull is passive cooling. Really? That's not good. Is that confirmed? Is that being changed in this new update? Hopefully. You can't have passive cooling here. It's got to be liquid cooled. Good point. All right. So speaking of updates, so Hyundai promising bigger battery and longer range in the IONIQ 5 refresh. So I think there's going to be an increased battery size from 77 to 84 kilowatt hours, increased by 8.5% according to Bryce's article.
So isn't 84 what they've got in the IONIQ 5N?
I think so.
So they have the bigger battery in that performance car. I don't really know whether we need to be putting in. I know what they're trying to do. They're trying to streamline the battery sizes. But at the same time, they also introduced a smaller 58 kilowatt hour battery just late last year for the 2024 model. That was supposed to be the, let's call it the base model or the entry model IONIQ 5. So, I guess it's a good thing for longer range, but in my opinion, you know, more variants associated with a 58 kilowatt hour would be good because that's the entry level price point to get into one of these.
Yeah, very true. I mean, they do charge quickly, so you may not necessarily need a bigger battery, right? They charge at like 250 kilowatts, I've seen up to. So they can charge from 20 to 80% in 15, 16 minutes, which is pretty impressive for an 800 volt battery. Yeah, so you may not need that much range. So what else has been upgraded? So heated ventilated seats, heated steering wheel, parking assist. Oh, there are physical buttons now. Yeah, we'll get to that very shortly, physical buttons. So they moved the wireless charging pad down here. And there's a new software as well. So now it's called Connected Car Navigation Cockpit. Interesting. Lane Keeping Assist 2. I tried that in the Kia EV9. That's basically lane change with active cruise control.
Cool.
Okay. That's good. Looks very similar to me from these pictures. Must be just small changes. Nice looking cars though. Okay, let's take some more comments. So what have we got here? Paul asks, are we going to touch on the burning power lines in the room? Sabotage in Brandenburg. What's that?
I heard about some environmentalists camping on ground that's close to the Tesla Brandenburg factory in Germany, but I wasn't sure about the burning power lines.
Okay, let's put this one up here. So, far left group claims attack on Tesla factory in Germany, in Brandenburg. Suspected arson attack. Okay, it's very fresh news. This is from like 18 hours ago. Burning electricity pylon close to the Tesla plant.
Okay. Isn't it a bit sort of counterintuitive to what they're trying to do?
Like, yeah, I know, right?
Forest would burn stuff. I don't know.
Was it the same group that protested at the Formula E race too? Like, do they know what they're doing? I mean, are we on the same team? No? No. Don't know. Interesting. SWS says, Tom, have you had any over-the-air updates on your seal yet? Not yet, but apparently Gene says over-the-air update seal expected in a couple of weeks. We'll find out. Yeah, my service is coming up too, so I'll try. If it's not updated by then, I will try and get that updated. We'll see. Okay, so Tassie's got more info on Hyundai. So upgraded the infotainment to be the same as the new Kona. Okay, thank you. Okay, so thank you. There was actual fire, power station burning. Yep, thank you very much, everyone. Cool. All right, so let's move on to another story. Okay, so this is the Apple car project cancelled for good. That was always going to be cancelled, Riz, I think. Taking too long, not going anywhere.
Marcus Brownlee summed it up well.
I think we'll cancel ours too, Riz. We had something going.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. So Rolls-Royce, you can continue to make the Spectre. just on that, I think, so Xiaomi, the phone company, I think we touched on it. They had a pretty cool looking sedan, and I may have seen this week potentially also going to be making an SUV, and the sedan's coming in April, next month.
What? Which one? What car?
The Xiaomi sedan. Xiaomi, I can't remember the name of that. The cool-looking, you know, electric car they announced a couple of months ago.
Yeah.
Apparently, it's going to be going on sale and delivery soon after, next month.
Oh, wow. That's quick. So, this one here?
Yeah, that one there.
That almost looks like a Porsche Taycan, don't you think, on the side?
Yeah. it's like a, yeah, the front looks like a Porsche Taycan and the rear is like a combination of a Seal and maybe like a Mercedes SL or something like that.
Hmm. Yeah, very soon, it says. You're right.
And then I think on the same website today, I also saw potentially them launching a SUV shortly.
Wow. Like,
crazy how so quickly fast models are launching.
Yeah.
And yep. Apple, 10 years.
I know, 10 years couldn't do it. What's happening? Making too many iPhones. Okay, we'll keep an eye on that one. Yeah, whether that comes here, I don't know. But, interesting. All right, moving along. So back on Chinese vehicles. So inside China Auto, we've got the Li Mega. The Li Mega apparently going to be able to charge 310 miles or 500 kilometers in 11 minutes. 7-seater. More aerodynamic than a Taycan, speaking of. 3 screens, 21 speakers, Dolby Atmos, Snapdragon chip, urban autonomous skills. Sounds too good to be true. But we have...
Looks cool.
A TikTok video showing some charging.
500 watts.
Yeah, that speed, 516 kilowatts. That's insane.
That's mega speed.
Yeah. I mean, we know charging speeds do drop after a while, but still, at 15%, it's still going close to 500 kilowatts.
I think it's getting close to 300 kilowatts at like 70-something percent on one of the videos that I saw. But, I mean, where do you find a charger like that?
I mean, how is it doing it and, like, keeping the battery cool? I mean, they're like, it must be a very hot battery after that.
So that's, I think, CATL's latest battery, 5C Shenzhen? Battery. Yeah, I think it's that one there.
Ah.
But, yeah. Looks like a Hyundai Staria, which is a little bit, but they've got a big angle in the back of it as well and pretty cool, but I don't know how many people will have more than, I think it's $90,000 for a Chinese market car. You can buy 10 of the BYD Seagulls at the new price instead of buying one of these. So, yeah.
You couldn't fit 10 Seagulls in that thing, no matter how big it is. Still, like, charging 500 Ks in 11 minutes is pretty insane. Like, you couldn't go into the bathroom at the servo that quickly if there's a queue. But, hey, that's good. Yeah. Like, 500 kilowatts at the beginning of that video was pretty impressive. Insane. Very fast. Let's keep going with some comments. Yeah, people saying battery fire. Yeah, look, you know, don't poo-poo them yet. They've got it sorted out, hopefully. Yeah, Tassie agrees with me. Charging at 500 kilowatts is not enough time to answer the call of nature. I'll take slower charging, thanks. Yeah. What else? Yeah, Peter says the same. We'll destroy the battery pack. What do we know about the 800 volt battery packs in the EGMP cars, Riz? Like Hyundai, Kias, even Porsche? Are they being destroyed?
I guess the Hyundai ones are too new for us to tell. When is it? Mid-2021? I think the first Ioniq 5 sort of landed. Haven't heard too many things about that particular pack itself, but Taycans, I guess owners, when they buy a new one, probably barely put 50,000 Ks on them and then trade it in for a new one, so hard to tell. It'd be interesting to see them on the used market, how their prices drop. I think 800 volt cars overall, Beyond Nyland often talks about this, and he reckons that, you know, it's not that much superior compared to the 400 volt architecture. But having said that, you know, the EGMP platform cars and their charging speeds are pretty cool.
Yeah, you can't argue with like 20 minutes for 20 to 80%. And I've proven it time and time again on my videos. So it is nice, particularly if you've got a big battery like the Kia EV9, 100 kilowatt hour battery. So we'll see. Now, we touched on this a bit earlier in the stream. Let's go back on it. So news from today saying that cars will need fewer screens and more buttons to earn five-star safety rating in Europe for their NCAP safety. So, yeah, I mean, how does this work with cars becoming more and more minimalistic, right? For example, Tesla Model 3 does not have stalks anymore. Will this change the game?
Yeah. I guess the way I sort of see this is if the car is already safe enough, but I guess in Tesla's example, it's not everyone's cup of tea, but if they are safe enough already and some of the safest cars Euro NCAP has tested, Model S got perfect scores. And the Model Y, I think, also did really well. Yeah, I don't know whether that's actually going to solve the problem they're actually trying to solve. Having buttons is a good thing, but at the same time, human error when it comes to shifting the wrong way or not looking, and if the computer can do that better than humans can, then I don't think that's such a bad thing. There's less likely of a chance computers will make, I guess, mistakes. They do make mistakes. But at the same time, yeah, I don't know. It's a bit controversial, this one.
Yeah, I mean, they need to fix their wipers to start with. haven't quite got that right yet. Yeah, there's still a lot of issues. But I don't know. I'm a little bit old school. I wouldn't mind a few more buttons, I think. Just for a quick... I think stalks are controversial, I know. In the heat of the moment, when you want to be maneuvering quickly, I think you sort of revert back to what you learned over the last 20 years. But most of the time, you could probably live without stalks or gear controls, for that matter, in the new Tesla Model 3. So, I don't know. It'd be interesting if they're sort of pushing towards buttons again. Now, like the BYD cars are kind of a mix of both. So, you've got some buttons, you've got some on the screen. And, yeah, same with Polestar as well. Even Kia, there's some haptic buttons too. Not just buttons, but like sort of, I don't know, what do you call it? Like there's a little separate screen.
Here's a distracting bit, right? Like, I guess, Tom, you drive quite a few cars for reviews and the rest of it. Things like when you connect Android Auto to a car and or Apple CarPlay, you have the ability to use voice commands that are supposed to make it easier, less distraction, I guess making driving safer. In a lot of the cars, you have that system connected, Android Auto or Apple CarPlay. You press the voice function, it gets out of that system, and then it says, what do you want me to do? All I wanted to do was use a Google Assistant or to use Siri within that system. So all of a sudden, you're distracted again because you're trying to get back onto Android Auto or Apple CarPlay. Yes, for that sort of function, if you had a specific button you could press, But the UI and UX in most of the legacy auto cars is extremely difficult to find things in. But Tesla, on the other hand, having a few more buttons wouldn't hurt.
Mm. You're right, Riz. I forgot. Yeah, when you do ask for the voice, it does go back to the other system. So the integration's not quite there yet between, like, yeah, the phone projection and the native software. What's the answer? What's the answer? I don't know. Better integration. EV trip planning, for example. That could be done better. Like, Apple could do better with that. Same with Android. Yeah. I don't know. It's a tough one. It really is. So we shall see whether this translates across to our ANCAP ratings as well. Yeah. Don't know. I don't have the solution, I'm afraid. What does the audience think? We've got, too many buttons are just as distracting. Aircon controls. Yeah, aircon controls would be handy. Yeah. Although, as you said, Riz, voice control can help too. Buttons for essential functions, as some manufacturers do. Mm-hmm. Yep, true, Peter. There's buttons on the roof for gear shifting. Emergency calls, etc. in the Tesla Model 3.
Actually, just on that note, that's a very good point, Peter, because customizable buttons, Tesla's done an amazing job at them and what you can actually do with a scrolly wheel. So previously, there wasn't a lot of functionality. Now you can, if you wanted to use wipers more often, you can program that in, just select it and it will, then you press the button or long press the left button on your steering wheel. It allows you to go through the menu, could be the wiper speeds, could be anything you choose. I think that's a good innovation while not having any more buttons than you need to. Let the person choose what they use most. So, yeah, pretty good thing. I often use it to go between sport mode and standard mode without changing a driver profile. So I think, you know, for people, for wipers, I know wipers have been a big issue. 2 weeks, apparently, there's a change. There's an update coming.
Oh, 2 weeks. Oh, 2 weeks. I'll wait with bated breath. 2 weeks. Yeah. Here's a good comment here from Carl. What happens when we are using Apple goggles in the car while driving? Will they integrate with the car? Yeah. I don't know about that.
I've heard the screen cracks on the Apple goggles while you're doing that.
Oh.
Anyway, side story, apparently it's very common for those new goggles to have cracks forming very quickly without being dropped or anything. Yeah, it's blowing up a bit. It's like when someone, I think one of the guys on YouTube bent an iPhone a couple of years ago. Oh, yeah. It's similar to that. It's blowing up.
Crackgate. apparently they're quite heavy as well from what I've seen too. Don't know. Be cool to have like the windscreen like... AR, right?
Augmented.
See you. Yeah. Like a massive head-up display. Iron Man style. GPS on the screen. Like, ooh.
See you.
That'd be cool. Kangaroo says, I'm all for stalks and driver display. Don't like the lack of display on EX30, but don't mind having most of the stuff on the screen. Yeah, me too. I think most should be on the screen. Just a few more buttons would be nice, which you can customize, which Rich said. You can't. There's some custom buttons on the some of the cars I've driven.
Yeah.
Leon says,
actually, just quickly on the buttons, one of the biggest pet hates that I've had with some of these cars is the fact that it forgets, let's say, one pedal driving. If you like one pedal, I pedal Hyundai, if you're listening, I haven't worked out a way of keeping it that way. And every time you get in the car, you have to reset, or it resets and you have to do it again. Same with some of those speed sign recognitions, especially if the system isn't functioning properly and it's beeping and banging on all the time. So every time you get in the car, you have to do it. If you forget it and it starts to beep at you, then you're doing it and you're distracted.
Yeah.
So remember my settings as a driver, and then you won't need as many buttons. I don't know.
Yeah, or keep it in your profile, right? Same with some of the ADAS stuff. It's starting to revert back to default, which is quite frustrating. Yeah. Leon, yeah, says, I find the MG4 has a pretty good compromise with buttons for all the basics. Yeah. Yeah, David, the Model 3 seats are good. The new ones are very good. They're ventilated now too, so really good for our summers. They are good. All right, let's keep pushing along. Almost there. And we've got Sawyer saying, Jaguar has announced that it will halt production of its gas-powered models by June 2024. Wow. I mean, what EVs do they have? They've only got the I-Pace, haven't they, in Australia?
As far as I know, and I think they're selling less than 10 a month at this stage because it's such an old model now.
Yeah, it's like 5 years old now. What's going on? What else do they make? Oh, I mean, what, there's no Land Rover EV.
Yeah, they make F-Pace and the rest, like, but that's not EVs. No. That's more of their sports car, Jaguar sort of range. But, yeah.
Interesting. There's an E-Pace. That's not an EV. That's like a small SUV. Yeah, weird. Okay. I didn't realize they had a plan at all to move out of petrol-powered cars. There you are. Okay, pushing along. Rivian vehicles will get access to Tesla superchargers in March, which is now. Very good. Now, we touched on this last week too, so I'll just touch on it again. The Ford Supervan smashes Bathurst record on the last attempt, or latest attempt. This was last week. I mean, sure, it looks like a van, but come on. It's not really a van, is it? Souped up. Red Bull van. Yeah, it's pretty good. 300 kilometers an hour down the Conrad Straight. Amazing. Yeah, love vans. They're good to see. And now, Riz, Bayside, have your say.
Yeah, it's. I guess they want to know more about what residents around Bayside of Melbourne want to see in terms of charges that are being planned. I think Jolt, they've done some work in Sydney, parts of South Australia, Melbourne. I think they're expanding in different parts of Australia at the moment. And one of the councils there that was pretty proactive, but now are looking at installing more charges, and they want feedback from residents and those that are interested. For anyone that's interested and want to give their feedback on what they're proposing, please feel free to jump on that page and let them know what you think as EV drivers, because that's what they want to know.
Very good. Yeah. I saw a Jolt charger in Roseville, actually, which I frequent a little bit, Roseville Station. So good to see one in the commuter car park there as well on the North Shore of Sydney. So, yeah, we're starting to see more and more Jolt chargers too. Very good. And finally, we are seeing solar records round out summer all across the country. So we're seeing a lot of solar generation. And New South Wales is helping out a lot too. So these are PV farms or solar farms. And a lot of them are in New South Wales. The top one's actually Gunawarra in Victoria. So good to see more and more solar. We just need to store them, Riz. In batteries. Yeah. Or utilize them somehow when there's too much. Cool. All right. Well, Kangaroo is saying there's a new electric Land Rover that's being tested, apparently. Okay, nice. All right. Well, I might get Raul back on very shortly just to help us out by saying goodbye. But Riz, yeah, that's it for today. Lots to chat about as always.
Yeah, it's not slowing down. We've got a couple of new models launching in a couple of weeks' time. I think that, you know, the more options people have, the better chances they are of telling others about it and people considering an EV.
Yes, that's right. And in fact, yeah, Howard just reminded me, the Smart Energy Show is on Sydney at the moment, today and tomorrow. So, yeah. If you're in Sydney, I think it's at the ICC in Darling Harbour. So get down there and check it out. But yeah, if Rahul is not coming, that's all good. But thanks very much, everyone, for joining us today. Lots to chat about. As always, oh, here he is. There's the man, Rahul. Thanks very much. What happened today, Rahul? Lots to chat about on the live stream there, on the live chat.
Yeah, the audience has been, really, really positive on the 10,000 battery electric vehicles sold, in Australia for the month of February. Thanks for bringing that news to us via the Driven Riz. Secondhand EV market, I reckon, will boom in the next couple of years. People are excited about the Volkswagen ID5, ID7. I'm sure there'll be loads of you wanting the 0 to late 2 seconds, 100K. ludicrous thrill rush in the Model 3 performance refresh. That's coming up. The BYD Atto 3 update, yeah, loads of people have commented really positively on that as well. And yeah, finally, what were the live watches? Let me have a quick look for you. We got 157. It'd be great if we can just smash that like so we can keep bringing you this show every week.
Thanks, Raul. Great summary. And yes, yes, I really appreciate your likes. I think it helps the algorithm, apparently. So thank you very much. Yeah. Thank you, Riz. Thank you, Raul. Great to have you both on the chat and stream as always. And we shall see you all next Wednesday on the EV Show by Ludicrous V. Thanks, everyone. And as always, happy charging. Take care.